Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast, live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
There's a problem. This problem is probably a problem in your own life, but it's bigger than that. It's a problem with our entire culture, and you know it. The problem is that we play it safe. The problem is that we live in an age of apathy because we play it safe. We live in a kingdom of boredom. We've been mesmerized by the mundane and lulled into mediocrity. We live in this kingdom of boredom in an age of apathy, and our war cry is, whatever. There's a New York beat poet named Taylor Malley, and he has this great poem called Totally Like Whatever, you know? It goes like this. He says, in case you hadn't noticed, it has somehow become uncool to sound like you know what you're talking about or believe strongly in what you're saying. Invisible question marks and parenthetical you knows have been attaching themselves to the ends of our sentences, even when those sentences aren't like questions, you know? Declarative sentences, so-called because they used to declare something to be true as opposed to other things which were, like, not, have been infected by a totally hip and tragically cool interrogative tone, you know? Like, don't think I'm uncool just because I've noticed this. This is just the word on the street, you know? It's like what I've heard. I have nothing personally invested in my own opinions, okay? I'm just inviting you into my uncertainty. What has happened to our conviction? Where are the limbs out on which we once walked? Have they been, like, chopped down with the rest of the rainforest? Or do we have, like, nothing to say? Has society become, like, so totally, I mean, absolutely, you know, that we've gotten to the point where it's just like, whatever. And so actually, our disarticulationness is just a clever sort of thing to disguise the fact that we have become the most aggressively inarticulate generation to come along since, like, a long, long time ago. I entreat you, I implore you, I exhort you, I challenge you to speak with conviction, to say what you believe in a manner that bespeaks the determination with which you believe it. Because contrary to the wisdom of the bumper stickers, it is not enough today to simply question authority. You have to speak with it too. Kind of a cool poem. And he's right. The problem, though, is that we've got nothing to say. And we've got nothing to say because we're barely living life. And we're barely living life because we're playing it safe. And so what we say is, whatever. Any of you guys see the movie We Bought a Zoo? Came out last year? Oh, a bunch of you did, yeah. This movie's about this this father and his two kids. The wife, mother, recently died. And so now dad's trying to raise these two kids on his own. And at one point, his young teenage son says, whatever. And the father says, whatever is the laziest word of the 21st century. I am sick of whatever. And little sister, the younger daughter, she says, but dad, that's the only word he uses. He'll have nothing else to say. And I think for a lot of us, that is the main word we use. Maybe it's not the word you actually speak, but still, it tends to be our dominant emotion. We just go through life, whatever. And the reason is because we're playing it safe. In that movie, the father, whose job for years has been as an adventure writer, he writes about other people's adventures, he buys a zoo, not really giving anything away. The title of the movie might kind of, you know, give you the plot there. He buys this, like, downtrodden, dysfunctional, dilapidated zoo. And when he's about to, like, start on this adventure of getting it all, you know, brought back together, and he gets the family together, the two kids and the whole zoo crew, and he stands in front of all of them, and he tries to inspire them. He says this. He says, "I would like to declare us all modern-day adventurers." And they set on this adventure together. Later in the story, once they're into the adventure, the little daughter says, at one point, she says, "Daddy, how come you don't tell us stories anymore?" And the father says, "Because now we're living the story. We're living the story." Let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible that God would like to get us all together and say to us, "I would like to declare us all modern day adventurers"? And do you think it's possible that that's what you've been waiting for your entire life? Like, that part of you inside that feels dead is just waiting to be woken up by those words from God and by you saying yes to that invitation. I think it's very possible that that is exactly what God would say to you and exactly what would wake you up. And the reason is because we have thousands of years of history in the Bible of God interacting with people. And throughout the Bible, God calls people. And when God calls people, what he calls them to is never a nice, easy, safe, comfortable life. What God always calls people to is an adventure. Like we see God calling this guy named Noah. And God says to Noah, "Listen, it's not raining. There's no forecast of rain. But what I want you to do is get busy and build an ark, because it's going to rain. And you will be ridiculed for building this ark, but just do it. And after this flood, you're going to be the one responsible for restarting the whole human race." Okay, kind of big. God speaks to Abraham. And God says, "Listen, I want you to go. I'm not going to tell you the place you're going to. I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I just want you to go. I'll tell you when you get there. And when you get there, not only will you have left behind everything you've ever known and gone to this new place, as a 99-year-old, I want you to have your first child and start a family." God speaks to this guy, Moses, and he says, "You know, Moses, you've built kind of a nice life for yourself as a shepherd, but what I want you to do is I want you to go back to the country of Egypt, where you are a wanted fugitive for murdering someone. I want you to go back there, and I want you to confront the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, and I want you to demand that he let all my people go out of slavery." God later speaks to a guy named Joshua, and he says, "Joshua, I want you to take this little ragtag group of Israelites, and I want you to invade and take this area that belongs to you called Jericho, and I want you to be strong and courageous." And I imagine Joshua saying, "Yeah, I'll need to be strong and courageous to do that." Yeah, over and over, God calls David, a little kid, to fight a giant. God calls Esther to confront the king. He calls the disciples of Jesus to go out and share the message of God and his love with the entire world. Like, not just your city or your... No, you're responsible for the entire world. God always calls people to an adventure, to something beyond themselves, something they could never do on their own. There's a book in the New Testament called Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible kind of gives us this history of God's people who said yes to God's call on their life and embarked on this adventure. And I want to read to you a few verses. We'll put them on the screen. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Hebrews 11. But if not, you can read them off the screen. So Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 32, says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quench the fury of the flames, and escape the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. See, all through the Bible, thousands of years of history, God called people, and he always called them to something daring, something difficult, something dangerous, something beyond themselves. And I think the reason God does that is because it forces that person to rely on him, right? If he gives you a challenge that you can do on your own, you don't need God. But when he gives you something beyond yourself, man, then you have to get into this vital relationship, this dependence on God. You have to enter into this dangerous partnership with God. And when you accomplish whatever it is that God called you to, man, God gets the glory. Because people look at you and you're like, you couldn't do that on your own. And they realize that there is something great about God. So let me ask you this. All through the Bible, thousands of years, we see God calling person after person after person. And every time he calls them into something bigger than themselves, something daring. Do you think it's possible that after thousands of years of that, that maybe at some point after the Bible, God went, I'm done with that. I'm going to move on. I'm going to do things different now. And so instead of God being like, Moses, lead my people out of slavery. Esther, confront the king. David, fight the giant. Now he's like, Bob, make as much money as you can and then try to retire early and play golf for the last 20 years of your life. That's all I have for you. I don't think so. Do you think he's like, Julie, try to raise some good kids and maybe serve on the PTA. That's all I have for you. Maybe he's like, Frank, I know you hate your job, but try to enjoy your weekends. You should try fantasy football. You enjoy football? You like statistics? It's a perfect fit for you. That's all I have for you. I don't think so. You know, I don't think God changed at any point. God doesn't call people to a safe, comfortable life. He calls them to be modern day adventurers. And God is calling you. God is calling you to an adventure. God is calling you to something that's going to move you outside of your comfort zone. It's something that seems a little too risky for you. And he's doing it so that you'll learn to rely on him and so that you can live life with him and live a life that really matters. And so instead of whatever, instead of watching stories on TV and in movie theaters, reading stories in novels, you will be living a story. You'll be living a story because you'll be doing something that you'd never do without him. We're calling this series Renegade. The idea of the series is that God calls us to live in a certain way. But the way that God calls us to live is so different than what we're used to. It's so different than what might seem normal or comfortable to us. It's so different than the way most people live that most people won't choose to live the way God's calling us to live. Even most Christians. Most Christians will believe in God and invite Jesus into my life, but won't really live the life as God is calling them to, because it just seems too risky. But listen, in this series, we're trying to get this idea across that you cannot play it safe and please God, because God doesn't call you to play it safe. And so you can't play it safe and please God. But there's a problem. And the problem is that we want to play it safe. We enjoy playing it safe. We like playing it safe. And we're stopped by fear. but we can't play it safe. Now, I just want to pause for one quick moment and just be absolutely clear so nobody walks out of here thinking the wrong thing. When I say you can't play it safe and please God, I am not suggesting that you have to be this evil Knievel, daredevil Christian who does something stupid. You know, I'm not saying go out and do the stupidest thing you can find to do, okay? And so it's not like, I'm going to wrestle that bear because I'm a renegade, or I'm going to jump off of this cliff because I'm a renegade. I'm going to eat this raw pork because I am a renegade. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying just go out and do something stupid. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. What we need to do is we need to live faithful lives to God. We need to live faithful lives to God, okay? We need to have this attitude where we wake up in the morning. This is what God's calling us to. We wake up in the morning and we say, God, what do you need me to do today? In every moment, God, what do you need me to do in this moment? God, whatever it is, I'll do it. Faithful lives. God, what do you need me to do today? God, what do you need me to do in this moment? God, whatever it is, I'll do it. And listen, often, okay, the truth is often what God will call us to are very ordinary things, very quiet acts of faithfulness, uneventful, not outside our comfort zone, things that we're like, I can do this. But there will be moments in your life where God calls you to something that you're like, okay, this is not comfortable. This is not in my comfort zone. Like this is dangerous. This is risky. And in that moment, you can't play it safe. In that moment, you need to muster up the courage to do whatever it is that God needs you to do. In that movie, We Bought a Zoo, the father has lived his life by a certain motto. It's something that his older brother taught him when he was young. His older brother said to him way long years ago, he said, you only have to be courageous for 20 seconds. Live by that. You only have to be courageous for 20 seconds. The idea being, like, you don't have to go around being this fearless superhero all the time and, you know, this daredevil. No, like live your life, but there will be moments that require you to be courageous. And when that moment comes, just step up and just for 20 seconds, if you could just muster up 20 seconds of courage, man, you will be able to do what's required in that moment. You only have to be courageous for 20 seconds. And this guy, now an adult, realizes every good thing in his life came because he lived out that philosophy. That's how he met his wife. He was walking down the street one day, walking past a restaurant, this beautiful lady sitting at a table. He looks at her and he thinks, man, I'd love to go up and have a conversation with her, but I'm not the kind of guy who walks up to beautiful strangers and starts talking to them. And he walks past and he thinks, I could be for 20 seconds. And he walks in and he's like, I'm just going to do this for 20 seconds. And it ends up leading to marrying this woman. And he realized every good thing in his life came because 20 seconds. I can do this for 20 seconds. And now he's trying to teach the same thing, the same motto to his kids. At one point, he tells his son, he says, son, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of courage. Literally, 20 seconds of insane bravery, and I promise you something great will come out of it. God, what do you need me to do today? What do you need me to do in this moment? Whatever it is, I'll do it. Often ordinary, uneventful, quiet, faithfulness kind of things, but there will be times, there will be moments when what's required of you will take 20 seconds of insane bravery. In this series, one of the things we're doing is we're introducing you each week to a renegade kind of person. And what we're doing is looking at people from more modern times. We look at people in the Bible all the time, and we're still doing that in the series. But when you look at people in the Bible, it's like, man, how many thousands of years ago was that? And they're in the Bible. It's just, you know, they don't seem like us. And so we thought, well, let's look at some people since the Bible to see Normal people do this. They were normal people too, but like people outside the Bible, people like us. And today I want to tell you about Rosa Parks. It's interesting, people who knew Rosa Parks, if you read about her, people who knew her well, described her with words like quiet, gentle, unassuming, soft-spoken, sweet, small in stature. We're not talking about somebody who is like, you know, big and bold and brave. We are talking about somebody who really loved God. This was a lady who committed her life to following Jesus. One of the things that she did was she volunteered for the NAACP because she felt like God called her to that. And, you know, they were working to get equal rights for African Americans, and she wanted to be a part of making that happen. And now, she was not on, like, the front lines of the battle. Again, we're not talking about a bold, brave woman. What she did is, after work, her job was she ironed clothes all day long. Montgomery Fair Department Store, went in the morning, stood over an ironing board all day long. And after work, she would take a bus to the NAACP office where she would volunteer. She had two roles where she volunteered. One, she kept track of membership payments. And two, she went and read to little kids in the neighborhood. Again, quiet, gentle, unassuming, soft-spoken, sweet. Well, one day after work, she got in the bus, like always, December 1st, 1955, and she sat in the first row of the colored section. And as the bus continued to fill up with people, the bus driver ordered her to move to the back of the bus. And that was the moment. That was the moment that required courage. And in that moment, this quiet, gentle, unassuming, gentle, soft-spoken, sweet woman said one word. She said, "No." The bus driver told her that if she didn't move, she would be arrested. And Rosa Parks said, "You may do that." The whole interaction probably took 20 seconds. And that one word, "no," it ignited one of the most important civil rights movements of the 20th century. It helped America to find its better self. And all it took was 20 seconds of insane bravery. And you and I, we will have moments like that as well. We'll have lots of our days filled with just quiet acts of faithfulness, just serving in inconspicuous ways within our comfort zone. But there will be moments, and you'll know when it arrives, when you just need to step up and you need to have the insane bravery to do whatever it is that God is calling you to do, whatever it is that faith requires. Now, I think the question is, man, where do you get that? Where do you get that courage, that insane bravery? Well, you get it from God. You get it from God. You know, it's interesting. All those stories in the Bible, Noah and Abraham and Moses and Joshua, all those stories, when God calls someone to an adventure, when God calls someone to something that's daunting and difficult and daring and beyond themselves, God always makes a promise. And the promise that God makes to those people is, he says, "I will be with you. So you go do this, but no, I will be with you." And that changes everything, doesn't it? Like think about it. That changes everything. You know what it's like? It's like being out in the playground and like the big bully challenges you to a fight. And it's a fight you know you cannot win, but then you realize that you have a bigger bully standing right behind you who's on your side, and so you realize, I can't lose, right? It changes everything having this guy standing behind you. And when God says, go do this, and you're like, how can I do that? But then God says, whoa, I will be with you. It's like, oh, that changes everything. That's what gives you the inspiration, the ability to have that courage to step up in faith. I love the way the Bible talks about this in the book of Romans. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, we'll put the verse on the screen again. Hey, let me just mention, we give out Bibles for free at the Velcro Bar. And so if you don't have a Bible, maybe you're like, I used to have one. I don't know where it went. Or maybe you have a Bible, but when you look at it, it's hard to read because it's filled with these and thous. It sounds like it was written by William Shakespeare, and you're like, I don't even get this thing. The reason it sounds that way is because it was translated hundreds of years ago, and that's how they talked back then. And since then, they've translated the Bible into English in more modern vernacular, the way we talk. And if you'd like a Bible like that, we'd give you one for free, no catch, no cost, no nothing. So stop by, grab a Bible. Velcro Bar is also just our connecting place if you have questions or want to sign up for anything. So in Romans 8, there's this idea that, hey, God calls us to big and daring things, but he's with us, and that changes everything. And so let's look at it starting in verse 31. It says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, so he's like, if God has promised you he'll be with you, if God's standing behind you on the playground, then he says, who can be against us? The idea is, who cares? Who cares how big the adventure? Who cares how big the risk? Who cares how big the bully if you have a bigger God with you? Okay? So it says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So the idea there, by the way, is kind of like, you know, you have God the Father standing behind you, and then he's like, oh yeah, by the way, Jesus is also back there too. Like, they're both on your side, okay? Verse 35, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness? I think that one's weird, by the way. It's like, how did that get in there? Or danger? Or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. So he's like, we have this daring, daunting, difficult task in front of us all day long. And people would look at us and go, dead meat. Look at the bully he's facing. He can't do this. Like, you're in trouble. But then check us out. Verse 37, he says, no. And all these things, all these adventures, all these risks, fighting these bullies, he says, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. He's like, listen, whatever it is that you need to do, it's not just that you're going to win. You can be more than a conqueror if you have God with you. And nothing can separate you from God and his love. And so really, whatever it is that you have to lose, it doesn't really matter. It may feel like it really matters, but it doesn't really matter, because when you go through it, whatever you've lost, whatever you've struggled with, you still have the love of God, and that's what you really need. And that's what gives us the courage to step up and do whatever faith requires, because we know that God is with us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, the protection of God, the provision of God. And so I need to ask you this. What is it that God is calling you to? And God still does this. So what is God calling you to? Now it is possible that what he's calling you to is a quiet act of faithfulness, to read to little kids in your neighborhood. Nothing outside your comfort zone. But it's also very possible that what God is calling you to is something that will require 20 seconds of insane bravery. You know? God, what do you need me to do today? What do you need me to do in this moment? Whatever it is, I'll do it. And so maybe for you, what you need to do is you need to volunteer to serve in a new way. Maybe the truth is that your life has been very inward focused. You know, you are living for yourself, for your betterment, for your improvement, for your money, for you. And God's like, turn your life inside out, man. Point your life out and serve some other people so that you can actually make a difference with your life. Find a way to serve so that I can use your life in a big way to make a difference in this world. Next week, we're going to do a ministry fair, kind of a volunteer expo out in the lobby after the service. It's kind of almost like a volunteer buffet where you can just look at all the different places where you can serve here at Verve and say, I didn't know we had that one. And, oh, that one's actually kind of interesting. What's that about? And I want to encourage you to next week, if you're not serving or maybe you're serving, but you think, man, there's probably a different way or a bigger way that I can serve, to really spend some time looking at those and sign up to try out a new way of serving. Maybe for others of you, what God's calling you to is a new career path, and you've actually known it for quite a while, like that you are in the wrong job, you're not where you need to be, but fear has held you back from making the changes, because what might happen, and what if this, and what you need to do is you must need to muster up that 20 seconds of courage to do what you know you need to do. For others, maybe God's calling you to generosity, because you have stuff, but you hold it with like an iron grip. And God's like, loosen your grip and be generous with God or maybe with a person in need. For others of you, maybe it's that you have a secret sin. It's a sin that has beset you. It has dragged you down for a long time. And part of the power it has over you, part of its allure is that no one knows. And what you need to do is you need to muster up 20 seconds of courage to sit down with a trusted friend and tell them and ask them for help. Or maybe what you need to do is a conversation regarding someone else's sin. Maybe you have a friend, maybe a close friend, and you've seen something in their life, and you know what it's doing to their life, and you felt like you should say something, but you're just kind of filled with apprehension about that conversation. But if you care about your friend, it's the right thing to do, and so you need to go in love and speak truth into their life, and you need to ask God, help me to have the 20 seconds of insane bravery I will need to start that conversation. Or it could be that the conversation you need to have is with your spouse. Because maybe your marriage has been drifting for quite a while and it's not drifting in the right direction and it's now not where it needs to be at all. And you both recognize it, but you never talk about it. It's never addressed. And so it just continues to drift in the wrong direction. And what you need to do is sit down and talk it out and say, let's look honestly at where we're at. And let's try to figure out the path to get where we need to be. Or maybe for some of you, what you need to do is give your life to God. You need to say yes to the invitation he's made to you to have a relationship with him. Say yes to what Jesus did on the cross for you. Maybe you need to get baptized. We're doing baptisms in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes out back, and got several people getting baptized today. Baptism is when a person is lowered underwater and then raised out of water, and it's this picture, the symbolism is that it's a person who's going into a grave and then coming out of the grave, and the idea is that this person is kind of leaving their old life behind and starting a new life with God, a new life for God. And some of you may not be ready for that. You may be like, dude, I am new. I'm trying to figure this stuff out. I don't know what's going on. But some of you are ready for it. You've been coming for a while, but you've never taken that step. Maybe you've gone to church growing up, and you know this stuff. You believe it's true, but you've never said yes. You've never made it your own. And you need to do that. And maybe what's held you back is fear. What will people think of me? What will people say? What will God do with my life? If I really give my life to God, what's that going to look like? But you know it's the right thing to do. And so maybe today, maybe in your clothes, maybe you didn't come prepared, you don't have a bathing suit, in your clothes, you're going to get wet and you're going to go home soaking wet because you know that what you need to do is get baptized. And so you're going to muster up 20 seconds of insane bravery and do it. Listen, whatever it is that God is calling you to, listen, no more apathy. No more living in the kingdom of boredom. No more whatever. From today on, I would like to declare you all modern day adventurers, because you can't play it safe and please God. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you because you are a God who loves us and invites us into relationship. You sent Jesus to live for us and to die for us so that we could be freed of our sins, so that we could be free to live in your love. God, I thank you for the people who have made that decision and will be getting baptized here in just a few minutes and saying, I want to live the rest of my life with you, God. God, I thank you because not only have you invited us into a relationship, but you also, you make this proposition to us that you want to give us life, real life, full life, a risky, dangerous life, but an awesome life. And in this life, you're going to call us to do some things that seem beyond us, that seem too daring, difficult, daunting, God. But I pray that you'd help us to remember that you are with us. And the fact that you're with us allows us to muster up the 20 seconds of insane bravery we need to do whatever it is that you're calling us to do. God, would you help us to follow you? Because when we do, we'll have an adventure. God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.